Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Is it possible to overpraise a child?
Yes.
Okay.
Never tell them they're smart.
Oh.
You haven't ruined them in 21 months. Let's just be really clear.
Have some improvements to make.
Keep them away from any screens as long as humanly possible.
Oh, shoot.
Yes, it gives you a break.
Yeah.
But at what cost? Kids who are spanked have more problems. They have more anxiety. They have more opposition. Mm-hmm. If you're connected, children pick your values. If you're not connected, they pick the opposite values just to irritate you.
We sat down with Dr. Daniel Amen, a world-renowned psychiatrist, brain expert, and 12-time New York Times bestselling author. Amen has scanned over 200,000 people's brains, including those of NFL players and celebrities. As parents of two under two, we hit him with the hard questions, like, should you spank your children? Is there a safe amount of alcohol to consume? And how does divorce affect a child's brain? We are new parents. We're just still figuring things out. We have a one-year-old and a seven-month-old, so super, super honored to be here with you and pick your brain about what you know about the brain and how that affects parenting, as well as how we can better ourselves to be good examples for our kids.
Thanks for having me, and I have a brand new book called Raising Mentally Strong Kids. It's the instruction manual that should have come with your kids, right? They send you home from the hospital and that's like good luck.
Yeah. Something that you said in an interview about your book that I thought was really interesting was you mentioned that one of the best things you can do for your kids is to love your spouse. And I'm just so curious, like, why is that? Because I feel like that's definitely different than how a lot of people approach parenting.
Well, if you think of the child, they're sort of half you and half your partner. And if you're not kind to your partner, they take it personally. Like, oh, maybe something's the matter with me. Mm-hmm. And if you want to decrease their stress, don't put them in a conflicted marriage or conflicted relationship. And you want to be very intentional of, all right, what's the goal? What kind of parent do I want to be? What kind of child do I want to raise? So you match your behavior to what you want. And I think of the most important things I teach my patients, know what you want and make sure your behavior fits. Like, I don't have any tattoos. I'm thinking about it. But
oh, really?
If I got one, it would be, does it fit? Does my behavior fit the goals? And you have to tell your brain, right? Your brain doesn't know what you want. You have to tell it, you know, I want a kind, caring, loving, supportive, passionate relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. I always want that. But I get these rude thoughts that just show up and I don't say them because they don't fit. The other thing, if you want to raise mentally strong kids, you have to be mentally strong yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't believe every stupid thing you think. You need to be focused. You need to be intentional. These things of mental strength.
I'm so curious. You've talked about like how you used to get so much gratitude and fulfillment and self-esteem yourself by like solving your children's problems. What were those problems? What were those things that your children were trying to tackle and you just came in and fixed them yourself?
You know, even simple things like what are they going to wear and what are they going to eat and, you know, what time they're going to do their homework. And, you know, if they had a problem at school, it's like, oh, I could fix it. And then I realized I was getting self-esteem and stealing theirs. Because ultimately, self-esteem comes from competence. Mm-hmm. Are you competent to do your life? You don't want them to suffer, except you do want them to suffer because it's through suffering that we grow. And so I wrote this book with Charles Fay, who's the president of the Love and Logic Institute. Mm-hmm. And that's a program that helped my daughter be the amazing human being she is, because she and my wife used to fight like crazy over homework. And Tana just goes, look, I did second grade. if you don't want to do your homework, you're going to have to deal with the teacher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll make new friends when you repeat second grade.
Yeah.
And she like had a fit and then went, oh, this is on me to do. So she figured out. Mm. And now at 20, she's just one of the most competent people I know. She doesn't want you to solve her problems. You create, and the more successful you are, the more you can hire people to solve their problems. And that creates entitlement. And I bet you've never met a happy, entitled person.
I haven't.
No.
What does that look like now parenting a 20-year-old?
Oh, it's
that
awesome.
Must be completely different than a second grader.
I see myself always as a good coach. You know, the more I've learned,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't say my dad was like that. He was sort of like a bad coach. Bad coaches notice what you do wrong.
Okay.
And they never let you forget it. Where good coaches, like good parents,
mm-hmm.
notice what you do right and yep. teach you when you could do better. And so I think the most important skill when you're raising a 20-year-old is listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's modeling, right? If you don't model the message of your life, you suck as a messenger, mm-hmm. right? So the message of my life is brain health. And so, you know, if I came in hungover, you'd never believe anything I said, right?
Yeah.
And so if I want to be mentally strong, well, it's modeling that. It's not coming home and yelling at people or blaming other people for the problems I have in my life. It's eating right. It's living. The message that I have in my life.
How did your relationship with your dad change over time? Because I've noticed you talking about how, yeah, it wasn't the best at times and how maybe you despised him. And maybe the bigger question is, like, what should good dads be doing to make sure that they're doing the absolute most they can to make sure their child is developing correctly?
It's time, right? And I'm one of seven, so it's hard when you have seven. But I had no time with him. Like, and I played every sport, right? I played baseball and I played basketball and I played football. Don't let your kids play football. But I played tennis, I played golf. You know, we come from a family where we played a lot.
Yeah.
Never showed up.
Why not football?
Not once. Well, why not football? Your brain is soft. It's about the consistency of soft butter, tofu, custard, somewhere between egg whites and jello. And it's housed in a really hard skull that has sharp bony ridges. Concussions are bad for brain development, right?
So, I used to skateboard a lot as a kid. My parents were so adamant about me wearing a helmet. And I ended up getting grounded because I was so mad because all the cool kids weren't wearing helmets. It was cool to go to the skate park and not have a helmet on. And they ended up taking me to the principal's office because like they couldn't get through to me. So like, okay, maybe his like school principal will get through to him. And so I eventually came around. I got a cooler looking helmet. I put some stickers on it, to make myself look cooler, appear cooler. But the football thing really got me because both my brothers played football. I played a little football growing up. I ended up getting a tumor, growing on my spine when I was 12. So I had to quit football, get that removed. Part of my backbone was taken out. So it was a pretty invasive surgery. But hearing you say that though, I'm like, I'm thankful that I didn't play a lot of football because I'm sure my brain is healthier for it. I'm sure it is.
That's so funny. Cause
yeah.
You know, I played, but you know.
Oh, you played football growing up?
I did.
Okay.
A lot. And I loved it. And I could throw football farther than any of my friends. And then later in life, I did the big NFL study. So at a time when the NFL was not telling the truth about traumatic brain injury in football, I scanned and treated what is now over 400 NFL players. And
wow.
The damage is awful. And as I did that, I'm like, you know, I'm so glad I sat on the bench for so much of my football career because that's the safest place to be on the field, be the backup quarterback, sit on the bench. so my self-esteem just went up because I'm like, oh
yeah.
God was protecting me so I could do the mission of my life. But back to you, the question about my dad, because, you know, he is from immigrant parents that were very poor, and he went to work when he was 12 in a grocery store and ended up being the chairman of the board
of a $4 billion grocery business, Unified Grocers. So driven, very successful. But my siblings will hate when I say this. He sucked as a dad, right? Very little time, notice what you did wrong. And when I told him I wanted to be a psychiatrist in 1979, he asked me why I didn't want to be a real doctor. Why I wanted to be a nut doctor and really? Hang out with nuts all day long. That's bad parenting, right? I find my passion and he basically tells me I'm stupid.
How did that make you feel?
Terrible. But I had learned earlier that he had no sway over me. I mean, he swayed me feeling bad about the relationship, but because he didn't do two important things, time, actual physical time, and listening, he wasn't a good listener. As soon as you said something, he'd tell you how to think. Mm-hmm. 1972, I turned 18. And Richard Nixon was running against Senator George McGovern. And he told me if I voted for McGovern, the country would go to hell. But we had no relationship. Yeah. So I voted for McGovern, mostly to piss him off.
Just fire your dad.
And then the country went to hell, but it had nothing to do with McGovern.
Yeah.
Because it was Watergate and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Nonsense. So if you want to have influence with your children, time with them. And there's an exercise in the book, my favorite exercise, called special time. 20 minutes a day. Do something with them they want to do. And during that time, no commands, no questions, no directions.
That part about the 20 minutes really stuck out to me because I'm in the stage with my one-year-old where I get up with him in the morning, I feed him breakfast, I'm changing his diaper, I'm doing all these things like for him, but it's not like we're having true like quality time where we're just playing. And then, you know, around dinner time, same thing, I'm feeding him dinner and we obviously we tag team. Like Abby's an extremely involved mom. She spends a lot of time with the kids during the day while I'm working. And Abby also works during the day too. But something when you mentioned that in your book, I was like, okay, maybe like what I should do is Griffin loves to just throw toys into our pool. And then I'll go in and fetch them with the pool net, and he'll just keep throwing them back in. So we have this game where I just play fetch with Griffin. He throws his toys into our pool, and I pick them up, and he has so much fun. Like, there's nothing that he enjoys more than doing that, truly.
What gets me about your version of special time is the no questions thing, because I feel like I'm constantly asking him questions, and I kind of, like, even just, like, simple things, because he's one. I'm like, what sound does a cow make? Like, things like that. I want to know, like, what's the purpose behind that element of special time?
Bonding.
Yeah.
As opposed to you quizzing him, mm-hmm. which is a good thing to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, learning is essential. But you want it to be without pressure, without pressure to perform.
Today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. As many of you know, I recently got diagnosed with ADHD, and I truly have ZocDoc to thank for that because they made it really easy to schedule my appointment, which Abby actually did for me.
Yeah. I think that the spouses of people with ADHD are the real heroes here.
It made it so easy because I was able to do my doctor's appointment completely online. I was able to meet with a doctor who was able to look at my symptoms, and everything just happened from the comfort of my own home. And it's nice because with ZocDoc, you can search by location, availability, insurance. So literally there's no compromises.
When I made Matt an appointment, they had found us a doctor and everything within, I'm pretty sure, 24 hours. I think the typical turnaround time is 24 to 72 hours, which that's incredible. You're not going to be able to see an in-person doctor and figure that all out in that amount of time.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. I use ZocDoc and you should too, and you can use the app for free. So go to ZocDoc.com/unplanned and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/unplanned.
ZocDoc.com/unplanned.
ZocDoc.com/unplanned. Now, back to the episode.
When he's throwing things in the pool, he's developing his brain. He's developing a part of the brain called the cerebellum, the back bottom part of the brain that's involved in coordination.
So it's involved in coordination, physical coordination, but also thought coordination, how quickly you can integrate new things, which is why all the video game addictions for kids is a disaster for them, because their nervous system, which evolved to be physical, they're not doing it. Their thumb representation in their brain is expanding. And do you know what other animal there have large thumb representations? Monkeys.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, no.
Okay.
We're evolving backwards. Okay. We don't want to evolve backwards.
Yeah.
Right? So keep them away from any screens. You should do it for as long as humanly possible.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Keep them away. No, because those steal their attention. And yes, it gives you a break.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
What about
the cost of increasing their risk of depression? Because the screens were purposefully created to elicit dopamine responses in their brain. It hooks them. And I have five grandchildren, and my first one, 9 months, he was addicted to an iPhone. I'm like, no way. But every time I'd see him, phone pop up, phone. And I'm like, no phone. Papa, phone. No phone. And it's like so irritating. And
it's crazy.
His parents ultimately got the message, thank God. But this is so important. This technology has been unleashed on our population. And all the neuroscience research is bad. None of it says, oh, this is a good thing, right? Even things like Baby Einstein are not great for kids.
We let our kid watch Miss Rachel, which I don't know if you've heard of Miss Rachel, but she's a speech and language pathologist. He's learned a lot of words from Miss Rachel, and he can point out like a giraffe and a bird and a bear, like when he sees that, you know, those animals at the zoo because of Miss Rachel. And I'm so curious, even in that case where it's purely educational, not all this, you know, big flashy stuff happening on the phone screen, even that is not good.
It's not good for them.
Okay.
Yeah. The American Academy of Pediatrics came out and said no screens before 3. And I'm like, that's still young.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's a developing brain, and you don't want their attention to require all the stimulation you get from the screen. So you want to be super careful about that. Anyways, back to my dad, because it's a great story. And it went on as trouble. So 1979, I want to be a psychiatrist. 1991, I start imaging people's brains. I mean, that's one of my big claims to fame. I have the world's largest database of brain scans related to behavior from 9 months old to 105. So I've scanned a lot of people. And I'm like, oh my God, the brain's an organ, just like your heart is an organ. You got to get your brain healthy. Mm-hmm. And so then I got really healthy, and I started nudging my dad to get healthy. He's like, okay, you see nuts. Because, you know, he's like, why do you want to be a nut doctor? You see nuts. Now you're a health nut. What's with you and the nuts? And he literally made fun of me at gatherings for 25 years. And it was irritating, right? I mean, I sort of disconnected my self-esteem from him, thank God for me. But when he was 85, 6 years before he died, he got really sick. He had mold in his house, and then he developed a heart arrhythmia and then heart failure. And I remember going over his house one day, and he said, Danny, I'm sick of being sick. What do you want me to do? And that was the moment. He did everything I asked him to do. In 6 months, he's lost 40 pounds. He's driving again. He's playing golf. He goes back to work. He's like, with my 6 siblings, you should listen to your brother. In fact, they would text me. It's like, tell him to stop. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell him to stop. And he was like my best friend the last 5-6 years of his life.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What did you tell him to do? How did he lose 40 pounds?
I'm like, you got to stop eating bad things. And he would text me labels of things. And like right in the middle of the label, it says brown sugar. I'm like, no, don't eat that. And so he watched what he ate. We started exercising like every Sunday. I go over to his house and he's stubborn. I mean, you can sort of tell he's stubborn. And whenever we'd do a plank, he had to beat me. And he did a 6-minute plank one day.
Oh,
like,
my.
I'm dying at 85 minutes. 6-minute plank. And I'm like, you're a beast.
Speaking of, you know, healthy foods versus unhealthy foods, I've heard you mention before blueberries, if they're not organic, there's pesticides in that, right? Like, speak more to that, of these foods that some people think, oh, this is like a healthy option, but there might be something in that.
And
that
organic blueberries are a very healthy option, you know. Okay. I think of them as brain berries, and, you know, one of my favorite, and you get a 3-pound bag of organic blueberries at Costco, is feed them frozen blueberries, because it's just sort of like candy. I have a cup of frozen blueberries every day, organic, because non-organic berries hold more pesticides than almost any fruit. And so if you're at a restaurant and they're probably not organic, don't eat them.
Really?
And just be real and play a game with the kids. What are their names?
Griffin and August.
So I would have Griffin's game and August's game. And so I had Chloe's game when Chloe was 2. And I just go, good for your brain or bad for it. Right? So you're like, what does a cow sound like? Just go, good for your brain or bad for it. We'll call this Griffin's game. And if I said avocados, Chloe would go, 2 thumbs up, God's butter. Mm-hmm. And if I said blueberries, once she knew, she'd put her little hands on her little hips and go, are they organic? Of course they're organic. 2 thumbs up, God's candy.
Cute.
And if I said hitting a soccer ball with your head, oh, very bad for your brain.
Oh.
Right? And so you're just teaching them in a fun way to love their brain. Because if they love their brain, they're less likely to drink alcohol. Mm. If they love their brain, when one of their friends says, let's get high, they're less likely to say yes. It's like, no, I love my brain. But all along, and they're not too young to just start playing the game, good for your brain or bad for it. I should write a children's book. Chloe's game.
Cute.
Are you someone that, I mean, I guess now you don't drink alcohol, correct? But
no.
Was alcohol something that was part of your life in the past?
No.
Never?
Well, when I was 16, I got drunk on half a bottle of champagne and a 6-pack of Michelob, and I was sick for like 3 days. My dad thought it was hysterical. I worked in the grocery store. He made me work in the liquor department just to like reinforce these bad feelings. And it's just never appealed to me to be out of control. Like, why do I want to dull myself? A little bit. That was never a problem for either one. And then when I got married the first time, my wife, 2 months later, tried to kill herself. And I took her to see a wonderful psychiatrist. This is when I'm in medical school. And I knew Robin when I was 15. We dated every day. We talked to each other every day for 3 years. And then I went in the army and she married somebody else, very bad. I never knew her dad was an alcoholic, or that her dad beat her mom. Or so, like, I've seen real serious problems with alcohol. And then as a psychiatrist, every day, one of my patients' problems is related to alcohol.
Why is it so common then? If it's so bad, why is everyone drinking? I feel like there's just like, you watch the Super Bowl, every other ad is a drinking ad.
Every
it's
other
like,
ad.
Insurance, alcohol.
Or what? Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals. Right. Why is
and
that the world we live
in? It's because we're indoctrinated, right? If you watch movies, you're just indoctrinated. Alcohol is everywhere. And we used to think it was a health food, right? Oh, we should have a glass or two of red wine a day. It's good for your heart. No, it's bad for your brain. And people just don't get it. And it's part of the indoctrination from our society. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book called The End of Mental Illness. And in it, I have this writing device where I just imagined if I was an evil ruler and I wanted to create mental illness, what would I do? I'd create American society where we're watching a brain damaging sport, right? The NFL yep. owns a day of the week. The NFL owns Sundays.
Yeah.
That watching a brain damaging sport, getting entertained by watching the demise of these men's families, right? If you really understand what happens to their families with brain damage, while I'm being fed commercials for alcohol, while they're being given Gatorade, sugar water, on the sidelines. And you just go, oh, this is why we're in the problem that we're in our society.
Yeah.
I'm curious how you'd respond to people that come from the field of thought that are like, oh, I'll have a glass of wine here or there, or I'll have sugar here or there, things like that. People that come from like moderation standpoint, how you
respond
to that.
Yeah, everything in moderation is the gateway thought to hell.
Oh. Because
as soon as you say everything in moderation, what you're saying is I'm cheating.
Ah,
now, okay. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, my wife periodically will have a glass of wine and I'll take a sip and I'm like, why are you drinking this? This is awful, right? Whatever you have to develop a taste for something, it's probably not good for you, right? Mm. You're overriding the body's natural, ew, this is probably poison.
I don't know, my body likes cookies from the get-go.
Yes, but cookies don't like you back. And you want to ask yourself this question. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a bad relationship.
I've actually only dated him.
I've only dated Abby. We're high school
sweethearts. Hopefully, you've only had a good relationship.
Thank you to Pros for sponsoring this portion of today's episode. Your hair is unique. There are so many different hair textures, colors. We got wavy, we got curly, we got straight, we got thick, we got thin, we got long, we got short. There's so many different factors.
If you're like me, you're losing your hair. You know, so many different variations in hair.
So many different things. And with your scalp, too, and your climates. And that's why it's like, why do we think that we could all use the same hair care products and skincare and it's going to work for everyone? You know, this doesn't really quite add up when you think about it that way. Yeah. And that's why Pros is really cool, because it's custom hair and skincare. Every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized. They have a very in-depth consultation process where they get a bunch of information. They even figure out like your location, like your zip code, where you live, so they can figure out like the UV and stuff and the humidity, because all those play a role when it comes to your hair and skin. And so they take in all those different factors. They analyze over 80 different factors, by the way, for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. They get personal when everything from diet to stress levels, just to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. Then they recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after you place your order. So you know that it's custom to you and your specific needs. Nothing is pre-mixed, nothing's off the shelf. It's just for you. And you can try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in just 30 days, or you get your money back. So they guarantee that their products are going to work. If not, you get a refund, so you might as well try it. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering our listeners an exclusive trial offer, so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/unplanned. That's PROSE.com/unplanned for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/unplanned. Now back to the episode.
Well, I've been in bad relationships, and most people have been in bad relationships,
yes, right?
I'm not doing that anymore. I'm only going to love someone who loves me back. And I'm married to my best friend. Mm. I'm not eating food or drinking things that doesn't love me back. Like, why would I ever be in a bad relationship? Like, I love Oreo cookies, but they make me fat, depressed, and feeble-minded. So why would I continue in a relationship with that, right? Because I also love Honeycrisp apples, and they love me back. As long as I don't squeeze them into apple juice. Because juice, whenever you unwrap sugar from its fiber source, think orange juice or apple juice, it turns toxic in your body. There's a great YouTube video about it by Robert Lustig called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. And you know, one of my goals is to end the concept of mental illness by creating a revolution in brain health. So if I can get people to love their brain, and then you just, this one question, do I love what I'm eating or drinking or doing? And does it love me back?
Can we talk about juice for a second? Because I think...
No, let's not talk about juice.
Well, that's been an area of conflict in our marriage. Oh, my God. No, because our son, you know, he has tasted juice. He's, you know, 21 months old. And, of course, he loves it. I mean, it tastes amazing when you're...
Right, because it's mainlining sugar.
Yeah.
Okay. Before everyone at this table starts coming for me, it's about... 5% juice, 95% water, but he thinks it's juice.
Yeah, we'll take a cup and we'll fill it up essentially all the way with water, and then he'll see us pour the splash of juice in at the top. And he's like, yes, juice. He loves that word. He goes, juice. Like, he wants us to give him juice.
So if it's a little bit, gateway. That's way better.
Okay.
Than pure juice. And my dad, again, we used to fight about this because he was a grower for Sunkist. And so I'm like, eat the orange, not the juice. Yeah, I'd be focused on what else can I teach him to love that he loves. So my grandson, Elias, who I love dearly, I love all of them dearly, but when he was... a year, he's a very picky eater. And Tana, my wife, was working on one of her cookbooks, and she created something called avocado gelato, which is made with avocados and raw cacao. And it's amazing. Her recipe is amazing. And I have this picture of his face covered in the chocolate. Cute. It was so cool. He loved it, and it loves him back. And every night at home, and when he comes to visit, I make everybody brain healthy hot chocolate, right? So I take organic vanilla, unsweetened vanilla almond milk, heat it up, put a teaspoon of raw cacao in it, a little bit of sweet leaf chocolate stevia, heat it up. Tastes amazing. It's got like 60 calories. I love it. It loves me back. Mm. Right? So you just have to find. And most people are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. Right? So you really only have to find 20 things you love that love you back. Mm-hmm. And one of my nephews, who I adore, ended up with Tourette syndrome. You know, it's a bad tic disorder where they have both motor tics and vocal tics. And the first thing I do with Tourette's is I put them on an elimination diet. We're going to eliminate gluten, dairy, corn, soy, artificial dyes, sweeteners, and sugar. Tics went down by 90%. And I'm like, so awesome. Next time I saw him, I said, that's so awesome. He goes, I don't like any of the food. And he came to stay with me. All right, our goal before you leave, 20 foods you love that love you back. And we went to the grocery store together, up and down, every aisle. When he left, there were 53 foods he loved. Yeah. You just got to shift your mindset away from, I can't have this, I can't have that, to, I get to have this because it helps my brain. And when you get away from, I can't, to I get to, because that's my goal, to have a great brain. It's easy. As soon as you, as long as you stay with the deprivation mindset, you don't change.
So we finally got through this really hard portion of our journey as parents, where we were up in the night all the time doing bottle feedings, and Abby was pumping, and there'd be, you know, screaming kids and poopy diapers, and we still have two kids under two in diapers right now, but it's gotten so much easier. But with that whole journey came sleep deprivation. And I couldn't notice, but you've mentioned a lot in your books and interviews how important sleep is for a healthy brain. But what the heck? Like, what are you supposed to do for your brain at that point in your life?
Yeah, it's really hard. And so you prioritize it to make it a priority rather than staying up and watching, you know, the next episode of Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, got to go to bed. catch it when you can, and try to do everything else right. Right? I have active NFL players that I love, that I treat. And, you know, one of them signed an $88 million contract. So he's going to play. And it's like, if you're going to do something brain damaging, you got to do everything else right.
Okay.
And Tom Brady actually writes about this in his book, TB12, which, you know, I mean, he played until he was 45 years old at an extraordinarily high level.
Unreal.
Right. But he did everything else right, including he went to bed at 9 o'clock. Now, if I was married to his model wife, I'd probably go to bed at 9 o'clock too.
What does your regimen for yourself look like? Because you don't drink alcohol. When you drink hot cocoa, you're doing it organic and you're making it healthy. Like, what are your healthy
habits?
I'm
pretty routine.
Like, what does a typical morning look like for you?
I usually get up at 5:30 or 6 and make my wife a healthy cappuccino. And we sit and chat for half an hour. And I'll go walk the dog. I have a huddle with my team. Used to be 8 o'clock, 8:30, and now I've moved it to noon. Because I'm like, no, I just want the morning to think and catch up. I stretch, I work out. I do a lot of meetings while I walk. So, you know, everybody's like on Zoom for an hour. I'm like, I'm not a big fan. I'm like, take yourself off. They know what I look like. And not any better looking today than I was yesterday. And I'm usually walking while I do that.
Do you lift
very
weights?
Very purposeful. I lift weights twice a week. And I'm very purposeful with what I eat and what I do.
I love
and
that.
And every morning, I start every day. It's actually on my to-do list, my master to-do list. Today is going to be a great day. And when I go to bed at night, I say a prayer, and then I go, what went well today? And I literally start at the beginning of my day looking for all the things I loved about the day. And the bad things will show up, and I'm like, push them away, like, deal with you later. And I'm like, what did I love? And recently, my mother-in-law died, and it was a terrible 2 months. But yet, every night, what went well today? And it really helped me just sort of stay even during that stressful time.
I noticed you said you spend the morning with your wife, and you spend 30 minutes together just chatting. Is that, you know, that 20-minute daily time with your kids, like, would you say that applies to marriages too, where a husband and wife should have minimum 20 minutes devoted to each other, no phones, no, you know, drilling each other over questions about the kids, but just quality time? Like, how does that same principle apply to marriages?
Well, relationships require two things: time, like actual physical time, put the phone down, and then a willingness to listen. So if you get really good when Griffin says something, just repeat it and then be quiet. So he'll keep talking. If you, because I don't think I had any of that, right? It was a skill I had to learn when I became a psychiatrist, active listening. As soon as you open your mouth, someone wanted to interrupt and put their thought in your head. I'm like, no, just repeat back what he says. And then be quiet. And then he'll say something else. And if he feels like you listen, you're connecting. You're bonding. You're going to have influence over him. Because if you're connected, children pick your values. If you're not connected, they pick the opposite values just to irritate you.
Yeah, speaking of irritating, I love them so much. But something that's been difficult as he approaches two, which I feel like is a very infamous age for toddlers, we're starting to maybe tiptoe into the tantrum territory. And I want to, like, I'm curious what your feedback would be in the midst of a tantrum. What do we as parents do? Because I feel like I've just experimented with a few different things, like ignoring or like trying to talk through or even giving in. And honestly, all three of those I strike out every time.
Well, absolutely you will. Make it a rule. If you have a tantrum to get your way, the answer is no. It's always going to be no. Go for it. So, clarity, you're not upset. It's really important because the ADD kids, they're masterful at figuring out how to make mama yell at them or how to make daddy beat them because they're conflict seeking. They don't know they do it, right? It's completely unconscious. But my daughter, Caitlin, who has ADD, when she was three, she used to run up and kick her brother. And I'm like, why is she doing that? And if he didn't chase her, she'd run up and kick him again. And I'm like, oh. Mm. I mean, she taught me so much about ADD, but they tend to be conflict seeking. But if you're calm, see, when you give into it, you just taught him to have a tantrum to get his way. That's not the message you want because that'll make you crazy over time, right? And he's old enough to understand. If you have a fit, the answer is no. And initially, if you've been giving in, the behavior will get worse. But if you just stick with it, and if you can't stand it, called Matt, it's like, can't stand this, it'll extinguish itself.
Thank you to Factor for sponsoring today's episode. You guys, as parents, we have like no time. That's why having simple, convenient meals that you can pop in the microwave for 90 seconds and eat them.
We all have the same amount of time in the day.
Okay.
But I feel like as parents, we don't want to choose to spend a bunch of time preparing meals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
And that's why Factor is really nice because you don't have to, you can eat a good meal that's healthy and filling and yummy without all the time that it usually takes to prepare a homemade meal like that.
And they taste really good. The one that I, it was the tomato.
Sun-dried tomato chicken thighs.
Sun-dried tomato chicken is my favorite one.
They also have a mushroom one with the chicken. That's so, honestly, all of them are very tasty.
And the wellness shots are delicious. They have a wellness.
We fight over those.
The wellness shots that we drink immediately. They have one that has lemon.
And cayenne.
Yes, the cayenne like gives it a kick.
I could use one right now.
They're very tasty.
I could use a shot of that.
They're pretty good.
If we haven't described what Factor is, it they're chef prepared meals that you can put on the table in just 2 minutes because they have these ready to eat meals you just pop in the microwave. They taste gourmet, I will say. Very mature flavor profile for your average microwave meal. Mm-hmm. They're completely tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility so you can get as much or as little as you want.
And they're shipped right to your door and they're fresh. They're never frozen. You're not getting some frozen meal thing. No, it's fresh. It comes, it's just like boom, you just pop in the microwave. They're not freezing that stuff, okay? It's awesome.
Head to factormeals.com/unplanned50 and use code unplanned50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code unplanned50 at factormeals.com/unplanned50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Back to the episode. I'm sure we're going to have maybe one, maybe two kids with ADHD because I actually just a month ago got diagnosed officially. I've kind of known that I had it like my whole life. My kindergarten teacher told my parents like, hey, this kid like definitely has it. And I know my parents were like, not about it. I think it kind of scared them. So they held me back a grade. And so I ended up doing kindergarten twice.
Which is probably really smart.
Oh, really?
Part. Yeah.
My mom, who's probably listening to this right now, is just like she's cheering clapping and clapping right her now. Hands hearing you say that.
When's your birthday?
June 18th. So I have a summer birthday.
Yeah. So yeah. You were young the first time
yes.
you started. And I would have told her to hold you back even if you weren't struggling because the younger you are, like I'm a July baby.
Okay.
And if I could do it again for my parents, I'd like give them another year. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you know, for those kids that are born in January, well, you're 6 months younger than, and out of just being 5 years old, 6 months is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like 15% or something. So you're at a disadvantage. And keeping you back gave you more advantage.
Yeah.
And so many parents have the idea, my child has ADD, I won't treat them. It's bad. It's unethical to treat them. Right? It's people have this idea, oh no, I never put my child on medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but if they're diabetic, you'd put them on medicine. They had heart disease, you'd put them on medicine. You know, I sort of think of ADD like people who need glasses.
Yeah.
People need glasses aren't dumb, crazy, or stupid. Their eyeballs are shaped funny. They wear glasses so they can focus. People have ADD aren't dumb, crazy, or stupid. Their frontal lobes don't turn on like they should. And the medicine, now medicine is never the first thing I think about, But I think about it, right? It's in the option of the top 10 things to do. The first thing is eliminate the screens. The next thing is get their diet healthy, make sure they sleep, simple supplements like omega-3 fatty acids. And then I think about medicine.
Even like working out, making that a consistent part of my routine, that seemed to help me. I don't know if there's... I don't know the science to back that up, but it seems like
there's totally a science. There's a whole book about it called Spark, written by John Rady, who wrote Driven to Distraction. This is, you know, one of the best books on ADD for adults. My wife, who has ADD, if she didn't work out, she'd just be miserable. And, you know, in many ways, that was just sort of keeping her balance.
Yeah, it's funny, when we go to the beach, Abby will like sit and read her book and just sunbathe, and then I'm out surfing or building a sandcastle, you know. Like, it's like I want to be doing something physically active all the time, and I'm working on learning to chill more. And now I read, we both read books together in bed before we go fall asleep every night. So something that I'm learning to just like relax and not have to be doing something physical like all the time.
And you also want to make sure you check your labs, like low ferritin, which is a measure of iron storage. It's very common in kids who look like they have ADD. And often fixing that can help. So iron and zinc and magnesium are treatments that can be helpful.
And you mentioned frontal lobes and ADD, and it got me thinking about how just this year, actually, I just turned 25. So according to science, I guess I'm fully developed. My prefrontal cortex is fully there now. And so I'm curious, because we come from a background of, we dated in high school, we got married in college. When we got married, we were 20 and 21. We got engaged when Abby was 19. I had literally turned 20 a couple days before the engagement. And we had kids starting.
We made a lot of important decisions.
Yeah.
With a half brain over here.
Yeah, with a not fully developed brain. And so I'm curious, like, from a scientific standpoint, as someone that's scanned hundreds of thousands of brains and you understand it so well, what should we do given that information? Like, when should kids get married? When should kids...
But you guys are already married and had kids, so yeah. I think I stick
like
with
way
it.
Too
but,
early.
But for somebody
be,
else, like
really nice to each other. You know, hundreds of years ago, they got married 13, 14.
That's insane.
Right? From a neuroscience standpoint, it's probably better to wait until your brain is developed. But the brain is flexible. I would just do whatever you can to keep it healthy, because having a happy marriage is so much easier with a healthy brain than with a toxic brain or a brain that's damaged.
So do you tell your kids to wait until their brain is fully developed at 25 for boys, right, and 23 for women? So
it's 25 for girls and more like 27.
Oh, no.
Okay, so actually,
this
I was wrong.
Good update. Matt is still...
That is news to me. I looked this up. I thought I had it right. Yikes.
I'm scared.
That, you know, that's when your insurance rates change, right? When you turn 25, your car insurance rates go way down. Car insurance people or insurance people knew about development before neuroscientists. Because why do your rates go down? People make better decisions. They're much less likely to get in an accident and cost the insurance company money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom got married when she was 18. My dad was 21. Okay. They were married for 70 years. So you guys can do an amazing thing. The trick is to be focused. It's to clearly define what you want. And then just go, okay, it's my behavior, it's our behavior getting me what I want.
I thought it was funny you mentioned in an interview how you didn't want your daughter to go to school in Virginia because you didn't want her to be that far away. And, you know, she's still developing. She's, you know, 18 going off to college. And it got me thinking, because at least from my experience, when I went off to school, you know, I was still a teenager. I was still learning a lot. I just remember feeling this weight off my shoulders that I could make any decision I wanted to. And even though I had to deal with the consequences of whatever those decisions were, it just was freeing to not have my parents telling me what to do. And
where did you go to college?
We actually both went to school at Missouri State University in Southern Missouri. And so I guess like for me, I think like with with everything that you mentioned about kids having having to deal with the consequences of their choices, and that's how they learn, and that's why as parents we shouldn't try to
rescue them.
Yeah, rescue them. And so for me, I loved that. I loved that, good or bad, like I was the one making the decisions. It wasn't my mom. It wasn't my dad. I was the one making it. And so that was so freeing. And it was amazing. And so I guess talk to me more about why you're more on the side of, no, I think it's better for kids to stay close to home for college.
So you have to think of it through the lens I see it. And often I see kids who go away that get suicidal or get depressed or become psychotic. And my daughter went to TCU for a semester, and I was not a fan of it at all. Take underdeveloped brains, put them with a whole bunch of other underdeveloped brains. And she said, Dad, they would all be classified as alcoholics. Now, maybe it's just TCU. I don't think so. They'd all be classified as alcoholics if they were out in the real world, right?
Yeah.
It's just so many vulnerable things happen. And I went to Oral Roberts University. There was no drinking, at least no drinking I saw when I was there, right? I mean, it was settled. It was chill. And so it depends on the environment you're in, I'm sure. But I'm not a huge fan of sending underdeveloped brains away unless there's some structure to the environment. When I turned 18, Vietnam was going on, and I became an infantry medic. And that was pivotal for me, because ultimately the Army is, or the Marine Corps, or the Navy, or the Air Force, is the ultimate good mother. They have very clear rules. I'm a huge fan of family rules. Like, what are the rules? If you have a tantrum to get your way, the answer is no. It's always going to be no. Go for it. It's a rule. The Army is very clear. And when you follow the rules, they reinforce you. They promote you. They give you little ribbons you can wear on your chest. And when you don't follow the rules, there are consequences. And they're swift, they're clear, and they're unemotional. Because ultimately, you know, I think of that as the good mother.
Did you despise any of your, you know, any people in the military that were over you and just were so strict?
Of course. Like these, yes, I did. But it was so good for me to get away from, you know, being one of seven and sort of feeling lost to go, oh, I can learn and I can be promoted. It has nothing to do with growing up with a powerful father. It had to do with me. And I loved it. And it's where I learned to love medicine. And I didn't like being shot at, so I got retrained as an X-ray technician and developed a passion for imaging. I think that experience when I was 18, if I would have just went to UCLA or Loyola Marymount, there's no way I'd be a doctor today. I needed time to let my brain develop, and I needed structure that was not the family I was in.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this portion of today's episode. You guys, Rocket Money has been a game changer with us. I forget about subscriptions like literally the next day. And what I love about Rocket Money is they make it so easy to cancel those with the tap of your screen, your phone screen, okay, in the Rocket Money app. And if there's some sort of service that you have that you want to negotiate down, but you're too afraid to call and get on the phone with the person to like try to negotiate with them, Rocket Money will do it for you, which is so nice. They actually negotiated down our home security bill, which was kind of dope. I didn't even know they did that when we first got Rocket Money.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
And Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $750 a year when using all of the app's features.
very cool.
We should just give a round of applause for that. Honestly, that is
awesome.
I think
that there needs to be a solution, because I feel like every adult is kind of lost when it comes to personal finance.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/unplanned. That's rocketmoney.com/unplanned. rocketmoney.com/unplanned. Now back to the episode. Should parents follow that same sort of disciplinary style that you experienced in the military? It sounds like that was really good for you. Do you think that serves a purpose in parenting, or do you think that was more so better for you in that stage of your life with you being a young man?
Remember these two words and you'll never make a mistake: firm and kind. So there was not a lot of kindness in the military, but there was a lot of firmness. And I had, like, my drill sergeant, I loved. He was actually very kind. And I met a lot of really wonderful people. But the best parents, they're firm. When you say something, mean it. But don't hit them. Don't yell at them. Don't belittle them. Don't stonewall them. Like, ignore them. Just do it in a kind way. And you're always rooting for them to do the right thing. But when they don't, they learn from it. Like, I had this great example. Chloe did something awful. I'm trying to remember what it was. But Tana, my wife, was so mad at her. And we were going to see the premiere of Enchanted, the movie, with Amy Adams at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. We had special tickets. It was the premiere weekend. Mm-hmm. Tana was so mad. And she's like, she never had a babysitter for Chloe because she had been abused by her own sitters. She wrote a book about it called The Relentless Courage of a Scared Child. So she never had a babysitter. She got a babysitter for Chloe. And we went, and when we were leaving, Chloe's like, hey, aren't I going? She's like, no, you just can't talk to me about that, like that, ever. Mm. And so this person's going to come and be with you, and here's a list of your chores, and after that, get your homework done, and then she can play with you. And oh, by the way, to pay her, because it's not my fault, she takes toys if you don't have enough money to pay her.
Oh, my God.
But you see, we only got that behavior 3 or 4 times, and then she learned, I only do nice things for people I feel treat me with respect, which is a love and logic saying that I just dearly love. I think mentally strong people, I only do nice things for people I feel treat me with respect.
And spanking, I noticed you brought that up. I know that's a big hot topic in today's world. I think we are both spanked a little bit. I don't know if we want to, maybe we could cut that out. I don't know. everyone seems to have an opinion on it. And I'm so curious if you've studied the brains of kids who were spanked versus kids that weren't spanked, and what
you've discovered. Yeah, kids who are spanked have more problems. They have more anxiety. They have more opposition. There's better technology around, you know, think firm and kind. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like you want to hit them, go, there's going to be a consequence. I'll let you know, and walk away if you can. Because spanking is because you're upset. Yeah. There's a better way. I collect penguins. And I wrote a book about penguins called The Most Important Thing in Life I Learned from a Penguin. My oldest, I adopted. He was hard for me. He's argumentative, oppositional. And I'm a child psychiatry fellow, which means I'm in my training to learn how to be a child psychiatrist, and I'm telling my supervisor. And she's the one that said, you need to spend more time with him. And I took him to a place called Sea Life Park in Hawaii. Have you guys been to Hawaii?
We used to live there, actually.
So, Sea Life Park's on Oahu. It's really cool. It's in the movie 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. It's sort of, that's part of the movie. Anyways, we went to Sea Life Park that weekend because I'm going to spend more time with him. We went to the whale show, and that was fun, and the dolphin show, which was awesome, and the sea lion show, which was funny. And then we went to the penguin show, and the penguin's name was Fat Freddy. And this whole thing changed my life. This little fat Humboldt penguin climbs a diving board, the ladder of the diving board, goes to the end of the board, bounces, and then jumps in the water. I'm like, whoa. And he gets out of the water. He bowls with his nose, counts with his flipper, jumps through a hoop of fire. And I have my arm around my son, and I'm like, okay, I'm a good dad. And then the trainer asked Freddie to go get something, and Freddie went and got it, and he brought it right back. And time stood still for me because I'm like, I asked this kid to get something for me, and he wants to have a discussion. And then he doesn't want to do it. Mm. And I knew my son was smarter than the penguin. And I realized the problem was me. And I went to the trainer afterwards. I said, how'd you get Freddie to do all these really cool things? And she looked at my son, and then she looked at me, and she said, unlike parents, whenever Freddie does anything like what I want him to do, I notice him. I give him a hug, and I give him a fish.
That's so good.
And the light went on in my head that even though my son didn't like raw fish, that whenever he did what I wanted him to do, I paid no attention to him because I was sort of like my dad.
That's so good.
So I collect penguins to remind myself, notice the good things about my life. And then a couple of weeks later, I was at Marine World up in Northern California, and I went to the killer whale show. And one of the killer whales just did everything the trainer wanted, and it was awesome. The other one wasn't doing anything. And so she stopped the show early, and she said, you know, I'll be here to answer questions. Like, right down, I'm like, so the whale's having a bad day. Yeah, she says, whales have bad days, just like people have bad days. I said, well, what would the whale do if you got a big stick and beat him when he had a bad day? And she looked at me like I was the dumbest person on the planet. And she said the whale would never perform for me again because the whale wouldn't trust me. Mm. It's not a good idea to beat children. Because ultimately what you want is trust. Mm-hmm. What you want is bond. Because if you bond with them, they'll choose your values.
A question I have for you is that I probably, as a parent, lean more on the... my kid can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm like, oh, he's perfect, like everything he does, when that's not the reality of humans and human nature. Is it possible to overpraise a child?
Or yes.
Okay.
Well, you even said to not tell your kids that they're smart, right? That
never
can be damaging.
Tell them they're smart.
Oh, I call them a genius every day.
Because if you tell them they're smart and something's hard and they can't learn it, they'll think you lied to them, that they're really not smart. But if you praise them for how hard they work, and you haven't ruined them at 21 months, let's just be really clear.
Have some improvements to make.
But just go, wow, you worked really hard. Then when they come up with something hard, they just work harder, which is ultimately what you want.
Right.
Because I was never the smartest kid in my class. But after I got out of the Army, I was the one that always worked the hardest.
So telling your kid that they're smart... not good for their brain.
It's not good for their
brain. But telling them that you're proud of them.
Oh, that's good for their
brain. Good for their brain, right? Or that you love them.
But better than telling them you're proud of them, 20 minutes. Be with them. Show them they're a priority. I have this great story. When I figured out special time, I was young. I was like 1985 or something. And I had a literary agent. So I've written 40 books. And so I've been doing this a long time. And I had a literary agent who had his first child when he was 42. And he called me up one day and he said, my daughter never wants to be with me. She's two. She said, that's a girl thing. I'm like, no, Carl, you're ignoring her. That's a you thing. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, do this. And I told him about special time, 20 minutes a day, do something with her she wants to do, which basically at two... is come home, sit on the floor, and play blocks with her, or whatever. Throw the toys in the pool. And he's like, that won't work, because he tended to be oppositional. And I'm like, oh, great, you represent an idiot. Maybe we should rethink our relationship. I said, do it. In fact, I'm going to call you in 3 weeks, so get the party started. And I called him 3 weeks later, and I said, hey, Carl, this is Daniel. Daniel. She won't leave me alone. As soon as I walk in the door, all she wants to do is be with me. She grabs my leg and wants her time. It's time. I mean, even if a child loses their parents, because that happens, if there's another adult that pays attention, attention to them. And now we're so distracted with the nomophobia stuff. You know, I can't live without my phone. Put it down, 20 minutes, just be with them.
Something I wanted to end on is, in today's world, you know, around 50% of marriages end in divorce. And divorce isn't good for kids. It's really hard on them. And I'm sure there's people listening right now who have been divorced or potentially are about to go through a divorce, or maybe they're going through one right now. And so I'm so curious, there are situations where divorce is 100% necessary and it's the healthiest option just with given the circumstances. And so I'm curious, what should parents do to make sure that they're being the best parents possible if a divorce is going on?
So I got divorced. And part of the reason I got divorced is I knew the research that divorce is not good for kids. But being in a family with chronic conflict is worse for mm-hmm. them. Do the best you can to stay healthy through it and to stay connected using these principles. And if you're really super smart, you both should go to therapy to go, how can we parent together where we do the best things for the kids? And often, you know, with divorce, you have to make the other person evil in order to justify your behavior. It's much better to take responsibility and go, you know, this didn't work for me, but I want to have the healthiest kids and I want you to be the happiest you can be. Because ultimately, I tell my patients this all the time, you're going to know that person for the rest of your life. Make decisions that are going to be good 20 years from now. Just don't make them now because you're mad.
And what does that do to a child's brain if you talk about your spouse poorly to them?
Well, remember what we talked about when we started is they see themselves as sort of half their mom and half their dad. And so mm-hmm. if you're talking bad about the other person, they think you're talking bad about them. And when families get divorced, when the kids are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those children, because their brain is not developed, see themselves at the center of the world. And so if something good happens, they sort of think it's because of them. If something mm-hmm. bad happens, they just carry this sense of being bad the rest of their lives when it had nothing to do with them. Mm-hmm. And that can go with all sorts of psychological issues later on.
Mm. Man.
The best thing you can do for your child is love their parent.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Amen, it's been such an honor to have you. I can't believe you've written over 40 books. I can't imagine the amount of hours and time that you put into the books and then the hundreds of thousands of brain scans that you've done. So if you haven't checked out his new book, Raising Mentally Strong Kids, we'll definitely put a link in the description. Also, where can people find you? Where's a good place for people to connect with you online?
So then go to Amen Clinics. So Amen, like the last word in the prayer, clinics.com. They can follow me on TikTok or Instagram at Doc Amen.
Awesome.
Thank you,
Dr.
so much.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. This is awesome. Pleasure.